cliffcentral.com. Luckily for you, Anthea is here, so we can find out what's going on with your money this morning. Yes, and it is the money shot.
I was actually at Eskom on Friday.
You were
for
protesting.
For a meeting when they were marching. It was hilarious. I mean, the fact that it was just bucketing down with rain.
Oh, that's
and they
good.
Were just all there, stood with like, I don't know, 25 buses waiting to take them back to where.
Yeah, you guys want to march, but you still need a bus to take you home.
Shame.
Let's do the song. Here's your song, Anthea. Come on, let's enjoy this for a moment. Everybody. A one, a two, a one, a two, a one, a two. Like an exercise song
from the 80s.
Yeah, aerobics. She works hard for the money. Anthea. So hard for it, honey. Anthea. She works hard for the money, so you better treat her right. That's right, here she is. Anthea, what do you got for us today?
Good morning. So last week, oh my goodness, doom and gloom. You thought the budget speech was going to be the big news of last week. Oh, no. It was the fact that the S&P fell for a seventh consecutive day on Friday. And there was it was the biggest weekly decline we've seen since November 2018. So basically the GFC, the global financial crisis. Complete pandemonium
Is any of this justified? Any of it?
So That's the question that I keep asking myself. $6 trillion was wiped off exchanges, like value was destroyed. And my view is that this is a one price earnings ratio, a one PE ratio. So in other words, it's only going to happen for a very limited period. And we've done this before. We've looked at the numbers and said, well, SARS fatality rate was five times more. MERS was 30%, where coronavirus is only 2%, right? So it is completely crazy. So this absolute run to safe haven assets, gold spiking, US Treasury yields plummeting. 1.35 I saw at one stage, and this was from a couple of weeks ago when it was 1.8. Oil dropped below $50 a barrel.
Well, that's nice.
So I think that my view on this is that the markets know, or investors know, that we're in the late stage economic cycle, global economic cycle. And so it's as if they think coronavirus is the catalyst that is going to tip us into the globe into a recession.
A bunch of people who could not predict the 2008 global financial crisis are still people who make the rules for everyone else. And all they're looking for is an excuse to see the market tank.
And this is half the
These
problem.
These are not sensible people.
Because they missed 2008.
Now they're jittery and jumpy about everything. So now now everything's the catalyst. Let me tell you something. There are so few people who are dead by comparison with almost any disease you want to use as an index in history. This is ludicrous. And the markets are... It's like the markets are a bunch of infants. Yeah, and I'm not talking about the market itself, but the people who make these decisions, these same economists that Anthea's talking about. It's just ludicrous. Nothing has fundamentally changed. Nothing.
There you go. Good companies are still making profits, or they will still, maybe not right now, but they will get back to making profits. There will be good companies.
The only reality we can measure, China has been shut down for like a month and a half, 2 months. Okay?
And that does impact your profitability.
Sure, that's going to have a bit of a long tail in terms of delivery, manufacturing, consumption, prices, all of that stuff, that we can figure out. But this panic over coronavirus, go and ask the average economist what they even understand about coronavirus, and they'll have no answers. None. It's just jumpy as hell.
So the reality is,
Your friends, Anthea.
My friends, exactly. And, well, talk about my friends. I mean, I was with my friends this weekend who were supposed to be traveling to New Zealand in April. And now they're not going to, I think, because they are nervous. So it does have a tangible impact, right? The sad thing about this is that the US reporting season has just completed, right? So we're done for the quarter. Phenomenal results. This is obviously from last year, pre-coronavirus or COVID-19. And we're not seeing it reflecting in the stock market. So it's a real disappointment.
But then over the last couple of months, the stock market in the US has just gone from strength to strength. We have such a short index and frame of reference here.
This kind of makes me think of Donald Trump. Like, what's he going to do now? Because his election campaign is based on the market going
correct.
Up, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I mean, that's a dangerous game to play.
And this is why.
But I also think once we all start to realize that this coronavirus thing is a made-up hysteria, like so much other stuff in American politics, then everything will reset. Mm. And then it'll keep on going up from where it was.
Okay, so if you're a long-term investor and you have happened to look at your portfolio last week, I think don't panic. If you are a new investor, I think this could be a great opportunity. And I read that there was that the Israelis have created a vaccine already or found a vaccine and that they should be able to start testing on humans in a couple of weeks. And so there you go. I think if you're an investor and you've got some cash, this could be a great opportunity.
Sure. And if you don't have cash, you don't have a house like those people who are living on Green Market Square in Cape Town, you can volunteer to be the test subject. I'm trying to find jobs for these people. At least I'm doing something. What are you people doing? Just talking about it?
I like the weather. Anthony, do you like the weather? I like.
All right, tell me about some company stuff.
Do we not want to talk about the budget?
Oh, well.
Are you over the budget already?
No, we moved through it quite quickly, but you give us your top line.
Yeah, so I was absolutely surprised. I could not believe no major tax increases. That is phenomenal. And I think...
What does that tell you?
The finance minister has finally got it. He realizes, he's being pragmatic, he's realized that South Africans are being taxed to the max. And that's it. They can't anymore. He's kept inflation, or he's particularly being pointed about the little increases that he has made, you know, on tobacco and alcohol here and there. He made a point of saying, I've made those tax increases as small as possible so that I will contain inflation, so that inflation doesn't go out of kilter. And I think he sent the Reserve Bank a very poignant message saying, inflation's okay, I'm not taxing everybody. Can you please cut interest rates so that we can have some economic growth, I think is what he was saying. Now, I think... So we know that there's a deficit, right? 327 yes. billion rand
right.
deficit for this year. And if he doesn't get more tax money in and keeps spending the way he's spending, it doesn't work, right? Mm-hmm. And the fact that his big draw card, is that he's trying to cut 160 billion rand off the public sector wage bill. I think that's a bit dreamy, unfortunately. I don't think it's possible. I think that
he even got that in, though, is miraculous.
You're spot on, right? The fact that it was approved and passed is fantastic. I mean, and no finance minister acts on his own, right? He has to be successful. He has to have the backing of the president. And so I think it will play out the way it will play out, I guess. We can't really tell. But the fight now is really with the unions. That's what I think. And whether or not he can get this public sector wage bill down. But an incredible budget. Like, I honestly could not have expected better. And then, of course, because he's not getting in more money from taxes, the other thing that worries me is that the Reserve Bank will issue more debt, and they probably are going to issue quite a bit of foreign debt. And what that means, that is, if our rand blows out, your interest rate payments on dollar just expands like naturally because your rand is weaker. Mm-hmm. And as it is, our debt service costs are so high already. You know, for this year, we're at 200 billion rand.
Oh my God.
That's just the service cost. That's not even capital, right?
Jesus.
And we're predicting by next year that it will jump up to 225, just over.
Right.
And then, of course, Moody's is a concern. I think, why Moody's haven't downgraded us already is a big surprise.
Isn't it priced in now?
Yes, but there will always, when this happens, not if anymore apparently, but when this happens, there will still be a knee-jerk market reaction. I think the rand will blow out a bit. Yields, bond yields will...
You mean all those economists we were talking about will have to find something else to talk about?
No. Well, I think traders and speculators and investors, okay. Not just economists. So blame the poor economists who always get it...
Who always get it what?
Finish wrong.
The right, thank you. So why do we have such a thing as an economist if they keep getting it wrong?
Show me a one-handed economist. Who is that?
if a physicist... Yeah, because they'd cut your hand off if you got it wrong. And then we'd see how many of them are actually good at their jobs. If you did that in physics, you'd be out of a job immediately.
What, cut off your hand?
No, if you kept being wrong the whole time, like the economists are. It's just ludicrous that this is going to have to be pushed into the humanities as a subject soon.
Yeah, it's like the same goes for a surgeon or even something like a bus driver.
Imagine you were wrong so many times and you never paid the price for it. Outrageous.
That's why economists have two hands. They go... On the one hand, this could happen. No, and exactly. Then on the other hand.
All right.
So I told you US reporting season's done. So that's fine. We're moving on. So locally, we still got a few commodity companies reporting. Sasol, this company cannot get it right. Like, I actually am beginning to feel bad for them now. Sure, where do I even start? I mean, their gearing is now at 65%, net debt to EBITDA at 2.9 times. They've said it's going to be between 2.6 and 3. So obviously at the higher end, no surprise, dividend cut. But at 200 Rand a share, it is so cheap, it's ridiculous. So if they could generate, and I think they easily can, earnings per share of 30 Rand, and at 200 Rand a share, that's 200 divided by 30. That's close to 7 times price earning ratio. This is a share that on average has traded close to 20 times PE ratio.
Wow.
So 20. At 7 now, it is like, is it even going to get cheaper?
No.
But I must admit, I did say that I think at 9 and 10 as well. So, you know, there are still meaningful risks in the share price. So, it's highly leveraged. We don't know what's going to happen to commodities. As I said earlier on, the oil price below $50 a barrel is not good for Sasol. And they're spending so much money on Lake Charles chemical project and just not getting the production that they had projected. So it still looks like it's still too risky, basically, and even at 7 times PE ratio. Another mining company that... reported last week was Assore. So Assore is kind of almost like half a holding company because they own 50% in Assmang, and then African Rainbow Minerals, Patrice's business, owns the other 50%, and they're mining, and then they own a couple of other things like Dwarsrefier and all those. And their mining product is iron, manganese, and chrome, basically. And so they're 50% holding in Assmang. Didn't prove to go so well because Assmang earnings was down 14%. It's a bit of a shocker. The share price was down, or operation, sorry, was down 68%. So again, just not looking good.
Yeah, so this African, his holding company, what is it called?
Patrice's.
Yeah.
African Rainbow Minerals.
No, the holding company.
African Rainbow Investments.
Yeah.
Yeah. You mean the investments, the one that also owns Rain and Time Bank and so many others.
Turns out not to be such a great investment at the moment.
Yeah, it's struggling at the moment. It really is. And it shouldn't be because it really well-diversified, strong management team, lots of cash behind it.
Right.
It's kind of bizarre, right? And then BHP Billiton reported. Now, here's an interesting one because despite not... benefiting from the PGM metals, they really reported a great set of results. I mean, I was very surprised to see Billiton's results. Mostly still driven by iron ore, though. Iron ore volumes were like negligible, up 2%. But prices were 41% higher in the period. So, of course, they did particularly well. And I think this was really because iron ore supply came under pressure after the Vale dam incident in South America somewhere, I think it was. Where was that dam incident? I think it was there.
That dam incident.
Damn that incident.
And compare this to Sasol, right? Their net debt to EBITDA, I said in Sasol it was what, 2.9 times? In Billiton, 0.5 times. So like 0.5% compared, or 0.5 times compared to Sasol. That's so highly geared. So yeah, so Billiton, a nice company, nice, solid, diversified miner, just carrying on doing what it does very well.
All right.
And then lastly, ShopRite released their full year results. So the market was a little bit shocked by this. First, they thought, oh, these are great results. The share was up 10% at one point. And then suddenly they realized that actually maybe there are a few things that they don't understand. Investors, got to love them. Traders, mm-hmm. speculators.
Right.
And it finished 2% lower on the day. I was quite surprised. It was, I must admit, it was a messy set of results, right? There was hyperinflation. There was IFRS 19. There were like all these like accounting issues and nonsense. But actually, the South African company, or the South African part of the company, managed to grow headline earnings by double digits, so 15.7%.
Good for them.
Yeah, which for ShopRite in this economy, I think, was a real coup. The share's trading at about 100 rand a share, and it's in a 14 times forward price earnings ratio, which I think is reasonable value for a solid, good African retailer. I am worried about the economy, less so after last week's budget. So if you have ShopRite shares, I would say hold on to them. And if you don't own ShopRite shares, I think it might be worth taking a little dip, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then this week, we'll see what happens. I mean, we've already had some green markets in Asia this week. Oil's already up 4% this morning. So hopefully we'll be bouncing back post-coronavirus panic. CliffCentral.com